We have Sakina Punjwani next. She's a media campaigner from Innovative Minds, also known as In Minds. They also run a campaign on hijab discrimination, and they work closely with IHRC on many other projects. They've put a lot of hard work into this whole campaigning and activism and research. So we'd like to welcome, without further ado, Sakina Punjwani.
Yes, please. Round of applause for Sakina Punjwani.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I speak here as a Muslim mother. I have a young daughter who is 5 years old. On special occasions, when I go to the mosque or when we pray, I let her wear hijab. Looking in the mirror, she carefully tucks her hair under her scarf. And when she's finished, she looks up and screams in joy, "Look, mommy, I'm a Muslim." I smile back, but behind that smile, I'm afraid. Afraid of what she will have to go through every day of her life when she says, "I am a Muslim." As Muslims, we understand that our precious children are an amanat, a trust from Allah, of which we are responsible. Our children are born to us Muslim, and it's our duty as parents to protect them by teaching them of this great gift of Islam, so that as they pass into adulthood, it's still there with them, continuing to give them strength and protection, and their lives meaning and purpose. Our enemies understand only too well that our children represent the future of Islam in the West, a future they wish to extinguish. So it's not surprising that in this war on Islam, our enemies attack our children and their right for Islam. Wherever they ban hijab in the world, they first start by targeting our children. In Singapore, it started on 1st February 2002 when 4 7-year-old Muslim girls were thrown out of school for wearing hijab after the Deputy Prime Minister had banned it. He said it was to help children to integrate. But once they stripped Muslim girls of their hijabs, he allowed Sikh boys to continue wearing their turbans. Muslim parents are now forced to send their girls to Malaysia. Just imagine your 7-year-old daughter having to travel abroad every day just to attend school. In the same month, but this time in Spain, a 13-year-old Muslim girl was refused entry to school because she wore hijab. The school and the education minister condemned hijab as a sign of discrimination against women and declared that to allow the girl to wear it, it would violate her civil rights. The Minister for Labor and Social Affairs joined in the attack, calling the practice of hijab savagery. Interestingly, the school was run by nuns. Why is it then that a nun's habit or the hijab of Mary, Mother of Jesus, peace be upon them, engenders respect, and yet the same hijab on a Muslim girl is savagery? If this is not hatred of Islam, what is it then? This is perhaps the most insidious attack on hijab, when they claim it's for the good of our daughters. What they are saying is that we as Muslims are not fit to be parents, And they must step in to protect our daughters from us and from our beliefs. We see this arrogance surfacing everywhere. When a girl comes to school in hijab, her interrogation always begins with the same question. Did someone tell you to wear this hijab? Or did you decide for yourself? Apparently, we as parents are not allowed to guide our children towards Islam. To do so is viewed as a form of child abuse. In France, this happened when two sisters, Lila and Alma, aged 18 and 16, turned up to school in hijab. The school suspected the parents must have encouraged the girls to wear hijab. But upon investigation, they were shocked to discover that their father was an atheist Jew and their mother a non-practicing Algerian. The father explained his daughter had come under no pressure from radical Muslims. They have simply got caught, like so many teenagers always have. And their religion of reference happens to be Islam, he said. The school were not amused and expelled both girls. They are now forced to continue their studies from home. And again, in a recent case in this country, where a 15-year-old Muslim girl, Shabina, was denied permission to wear a jilbab to school. The judge questioned who had put her to it. In giving this judgment, the judge suggested Shabina had been influenced by her older brother and questioned why he spoke for her, as if it was a crime for a brother to support his sister. The school, with its 80% Muslim population, allows the wearing of shalwar kameez with scarf, but it refused a jilbab, which is essentially an ankle-length dress with a scarf. As with all faiths, Muslims enjoy a diversity of interpretation as to what level of modesty is appropriate. Rather than acknowledge this and allow the extra 18-inch cloth that distinguished a jilbab from a kameez, the school punished Shabina, a gift pupil who had come top of her class. She has lost 2 years of her education after the school vindictively blocked her getting a home tutor. Astonishingly, the head teacher argued in court that by wearing hijab, Shabina would negatively affect other pupils. The argument went that other girls would also wish to wear jilbab, and soon two groups would form, with ones wearing jilbab being regarded as better Muslims. And so, to avoid division, Shabina was sacrificed. The fact that the judge accepted this argument and found in favor of the school sets a very dangerous precedent and brings the UK closer to France, where there is now an outright ban on hijab. The real reason for the ban, as the head teacher let slip in court, was that the school regarded jilbab as belonging to a more radical Islam and wanted to prevent the children from embracing it. So now the school decides what type of Islam our children are permitted to follow. How arrogant! Which other religious communities would accept such intervention in the practice of their religion? Which other community? This isn't the first time this school has shown contempt for Islam. 4 years ago, the RE teacher, Stephen Shimkin, shocked pupils by sitting on a copy of the Quran, saying it was his book, so he could do what he liked. When Muslim pupils got upset, he offered them a Bible and told them they could do what they liked to it in retaliation. It was only when pupils protested en masse that the school took action. If similarly, this time they had rallied around Shabina, then perhaps a school which is 80% Muslim would not have been bold as to punish a Muslim student for simply following her beliefs. Unfortunately, it did not happen. When we see what is happening in countries where hijab is well established, like in Tunisia and Turkey, where teenage girls are dragged off to prison for wearing hijab. Some even threatened to death. Where a 72-year-old woman collapses to her death in front of doctors who refused to treat her because her medical card showed her wearing hijab. We should take heed. This will be our future. If we do not unite now and act as one ummah in defense of our deen. As the Quran says in chapter 23, ayat 52, and verily, this ummah of yours is one ummah, and I am your Lord and cherisher. Therefore fear me and not other. Before I go, I just want to pay tribute to the work the Islamic Human Rights Commission have done over the years in regard to the hijab ban. As you know, I am from Innovative Minds. Our first collaboration with the IHRC was some 5.5 years ago when we joined the campaign against the hijab ban in Turkey by launching Gems from the Holy Quran software to help raise funds and publicity for the campaign. Working with them, we were shocked to discover the sheer amount of work they were doing, and all of it from those small, tiny rooms. If you have visited the old offices, you will know what I mean. The countless numbers of local Islamophobia cases they were handling. They campaigned for prisoners of faith in over a dozen countries, some of whom weren't even Muslim. I remember seeing the case of a rabbi in prison in Israel among them. They sent observers and lawyers. They do media monitoring and produce human rights reports. Then they do a huge segment of work which really should be handled by a team of social workers, but was dumped on them and they could not say no to someone in need. All this, and yet they had no publicity and very little support for their work. In fact, just now as I speak, they are helping with two hijab-related cases from Turkey that are being taken to the European Court of Human Rights. And they are preparing to take a further case from France, again related to the hijab ban. The only thing hindering their progress is financial resources. Whilst they have always worked and progressed on goodwill and voluntary support of many lawyers, researchers, and activists, these cases take time and organization. That requires a dedicated worker, even if it's just 2 or 3 days a week, with minimal office support of maybe a computer and a telephone. This costs money. This is where we can all help. Please, give generously tonight so that they can, inshallah, continue the great work they are doing and reach many more people in need. Please, I request you, do donate generously today. This is essentially what IHRC is about, getting the work done. Providing help where it's needed without any fanfare or publicity seeking. In recognition of the outstanding service in defending the Muslim Ummah, we would like to award them with our first Noor Award. The Noor Award was inspired by a letter written by a Muslimah in prison in Abu Ghraib prison. Her name was Noor. And in her letter, which I believe is in the packs you will be given, she asked for help. So this award is for those who help. Would Brother Masood... So would Brother Masood and Sister Arzu please come up and receive it on behalf of your team. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sister. Really, you have touched us all. Arzu isn't here. I'm sure she would be as much touched as I am. But the real heroes of our community are youngsters, activists, those who are campaigning. These are I was just telling the brother that our wealth is these youngsters, the campaigners, and our shield is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we are not going to be defeated, and victory will be for the justice and those who pursue justice. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.